I'll let you preach if you want to. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I bring you greetings once again from the church family in Guatemala. In particular, the church family at Linda Vista, Villanueva, Guatemala, just right outside of the capital city. And they, at this point in time, it's 11 o'clock, so they are beginning their... We're right in the beginning of our Sunday school hour. We have worship from 9:30 until 11, and then we have our Sunday school from 11 until about 12:15. So, and I know that they have mentioned me as I'm traveling, and I know that they've mentioned you in prayer. And so I ask that you keep us in your prayers as well. Just a reminder, there's still some pens and some little keychains and stuff like that, brochures, so please, at the end of the assembly, I don't want to travel with those things, okay? Because the airline charges you by weight now. And so if you end up having too much weight, that means I can't eat a donut before I get on the plane. So please take the calendars, the brochures, and all this stuff when the assembly is over this morning. I appreciate so much the part that you play in our work there in Guatemala, both first and foremost, prayerfully, and then the financial assistance that you give us. And we appreciate that very, very much. It's great to be family, isn't it? It's great to really be family in the Lord, and the Lord has blessed us in so many different ways. I promised earlier that I would get us out of here in time for lunch, and I am going to do my best. Oh, no, I didn't promise that, I just said I would try to. And I am going to do my best to get us out of here in time for lunch, since it's already been announced that we're going to be having lunch together. And so I just want you to know, in Guatemala, lunch is normally starts about 1:30 in the afternoon. So I'm going to try to get us out of here in time. And this brother sitting here going, yeah. So do what?
I might get hungry.
Yeah, that's true. So I'll feed you with the word, and we're going to just have a good time this morning. Somebody asked Marsha Keeble one time, somebody said, Brother Keeble said, why is it that you normally start off your lesson with some kind of joke or something like that? And Brother Keeble said, well, I started off like with a joke or something like that. He says, because I look out in the audience, and he says, I see the brethren as frozen fish. Yeah, he said, I see them as frozen fish. And said, you've got to thaw them out before you can fry them. And so, I'm not going to fry you this morning, but I'm going to thaw you out, and so we can get into our lesson of this morning. Church, I boarded a plane from Guatemala to Houston. And I sat next to a man. And this man talked all the way from Guatemala to Houston. When I say all the way, I mean all the way. Yeah. And he asked me where am I from and all the stuff like that. And then he began to tell me, I told him, I said, I live in Guatemala. And he started telling me about where we were going. And he said, I'm telling you that we're going to a place right now that's in trouble. And he shared with me everything that anybody would want to know and wouldn't want to know about the United States of America. I mean, he knows more about the president, I believe, than the president knows about himself. And shared, and just in trouble. I got to Houston and come through customs and all the stuff like that. And then I got on my plane from Houston to Denver. And I sat next to a lady from Houston to Denver. And she talked all the way. I mean, I even pulled out a pamphlet to read. And she talked all the way. I mean, almost from the time we took off to the time we landed. And before we landed, she said, this nation is in trouble. You see. And she shared with me a lot of stuff that I'd already, and it's kind of like, I want to just tell, I already know that. You know, I was told that about an hour ago, you know, but she shared with me and went on and on. And then she said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. And she looked at me and she said, well, and she called me, asked me my name, and she called me Pastor Jones. Yeah. And I didn't have time to get into all that as far as, not a pastor. Then she said, Pastor Jones, is there any hope for our nation? And then she looked, she said, you know what? As we parted company, I saw her again in the luggage area, and she says, well, you know what? You're a pastor. So you must represent some type of hope for this nation. And I thought about that. Church, our nation's in trouble. You agree with that? We're in trouble right now. I mean, just, and if you don't believe that, just turn on the radio. Turn on the news. Look in the paper. Someone asked, if you can describe one word, what's taken over our nation? What is taking over our nation? And if I had one word for it, here it is. It's called pride. Pride. We have become, and we are becoming, the most prideful. I mean, look at some of the laws that's being passed. We're becoming, if it has anything to do with God, get rid of it. We're becoming gods ourselves. We're becoming like the story. Have you heard about the? Asked the question: Do you want to be a dog or do you want to be a cat? Do you want to have the attitude of a dog or do you want to have the attitude of a cat? And church, I hate cats. Okay, I'm just going to tell you up front. If those of you who have them in your home and you love them, that's fine and good. I don't like cats. Okay, what you hear about the dog and the cat, and they both have two different attitudes. The dog, you feed the dog. You know, you give the dog water and you pet the dog and you start petting the dog on the head and the dog rolls over, you pet the dog on the stomach, and the dog just looks up at you. And he looks at you and he's like he's saying, oh, wow, you must be God. All that you're giving me, all that you're doing for me. Now the cat. Yeah, yeah. You feed the cat. You give the cat water. You rub the cat on the head, if it don't scratch you to death. You rub the cat on the head, and then the cat turns over, and you rub the cat on the stomach, and the cat looks up at you and says, I must be God. Church, our country, we've got the attitude of the cat. How blessed are we here? We're fed. We've got places to live. We've got cars to drive. We've got nice homes to live in. We got everything anybody would ever need, anybody would ever want. And when we do look up, many people are saying, I must be God. And we're taking God out of the picture. That's where we're going. That's a sad story. That's a sad story for any nation. And I'm not here to predict what's going to happen in the United States, but listen, here's what I do believe. Unless there's some changes, we're not going down a good road right now. Pride, you know, pride will get you in trouble every time. Pride will get you in trouble every time. And then when it comes to the opposite of pride is humility. And what our nation needs is, from the White House down, we need a good dose of humility. You know, when you start talking about humility, sometimes we don't even know how to say the word. You talk about being humble, we get into an argument. Or do you say humble or do you say humble? What difference does that make? I was in a class one time. We were talking about being humble, and somebody raised a hand. Well, now, Brother High, and I thought it was going to be some profound question. Brother High, is the word humble or is it humble? And I said, well, listen, my name is High. It starts with an H. You call me High. You don't call me I. That's enough right there. We don't, and you know, when it comes to humility sometimes, not only do we not even know how to say it, you know, it's confusing sometimes, isn't it? Because humility is something everybody's got to have, but you can't tell anybody you got it. You can't walk around saying, hey, I'm a humble man. You can say I'm rich, you can say I'm poor, you can say I'm, but say you're humble. Everybody's got to have it, but nobody can tell anybody that they got it. Church, even if we don't know how to pronounce it, even if we don't quite get, we get confused exactly, you know what, you're in trouble without it. Pride will get us in trouble. Do you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar? How many remember that? Go with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, there's a man here. And this all happened beginning in verse 28. And this all happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is not this Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might and power and riches and glories of my majesty? What is this? What do you hear here? It's nothing but the cat, yeah. It's pride. Pride. Now listen, all this that by my majesty, and while the words of the king was in his mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. You will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beast of the fields, and you will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it upon whomever he wishes. Never, you remember that? A king! Church, listen. Pride will make you eat grass. Nebuchadnezzar, look what I've done. Look what I have. And it's all because of me. And he, God said, No. You're going to eat grass. You're going to eat grass until you recognize who I am. And let me tell you a personal story. I was invited one year to speak at a youth rally in one of the upper states, and I arrived to speak at that rally, and I get there and I preach the lesson on Friday night, 2 lessons. And after the lesson was over, the first lesson, somebody came up and said, Brother High, you did a good job. And I said, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Somebody else came up and said, you did a good job. Enjoyed your lesson. You know, well, thank you. I preached a second lesson, but then I began to think, you know, maybe I am doing a pretty good job. Yeah. I preached a second lesson, After the second lesson was over, people come up and said, fine job. Well, thank you. And then I began to think, you know, wow, you know, I looked at the program and normally there's two or three preachers normally on the lecture, on the youth rally program. I was the only speaker. And I began to think, you know, well, I'm the only speaker and maybe that's, they got a good speaker, you know? Yeah, I went home that night. Something had begun to take over. Saturday morning, delivered a lesson at 9 o'clock in the morning. After the lesson was over, by then somebody came up and said, Brother High, said, you did a good job, great lesson. And you know, but I looked at him and I said, thank you. But now, really what I said, I think in my heart was I said, thank you very much. You're only saying that because it's true. Yeah. Saturday afternoon, I went out. They were doing service projects and they chauffeured me around to see all the service projects and compliment after compliment. And I never forget, we had lunch in the park. And they would not even let me fix my own plate. That's how good I was. I mean, yeah. By then, you didn't have to pat me on the back. No. You want to know how good I was? Ask me. They wouldn't let me fix my own plate. They said, what do you want, Brother High? I mean, they were serving me. And I told them, I said, well, you know what? I here's what I want. I want two hot dogs is all I want. I want one of them on a bun, one of them not on a bun, and ketchup and mustard on the plate, you know, because I'm thinking I don't really need to have two buns because the last thing I need to do is get, you know, because I need to keep my whatever it is since I'm so good. Church, I'm sitting there eating my hot dog and talking to the people and listening to the people, and they're complimentary. They're doing all the stuff like that, and I'm just listening. Thank you very much. Appreciating all the stuff like that. And finished my last hot, the second hot dog, and church, out of nowhere. And I believe God did it. Out of nowhere came a puff of wind. Yeah, a puff of wind. And you know what happened? That puff of wind picked up that plate in front of me. Yeah. There I said, and it was only seconds, but it felt like 20 years. I'm sitting there looking at that plate. And church, that plate went right on my face. Now, it seems like an eternity. What do you do? Do you just get up and walk off? I'm thinking, I'd rather have eaten grass because you can at least claim indigestion and need to leave. I took the plate down. Now I look like I've been in a train wreck and lost. I've got mustard that looks like brain cells on my face. I've got ketchup that looks like blood all over my face. Nobody laughed, but I'm just like right now, I'm looking at everybody. Church, I believe God said, Nohai, I've had enough of you. But I thought, did you have to do it that way? Church, pride. Pride will get us in trouble every time. And church, I'm not, you know, we're being faced with pride in our nation, and we're being faced with pride in our churches. Since when have we been faced with, well, you know, women can preach? That's pride. Since when have we been faced with, oh, no, it's okay if we bring the instrument in. I mean, God, you know, maybe the Bible, you know, but still, I mean, that's pride. Since when have we been faced with, well, now, we don't really, we can, you know, I talked with a brother just, I mean, it hasn't been a month ago that he's trying to convince me, no, we can take the Lord's Supper on Saturday if we want to. What? Tell me, give me book, chapter, and verse. We don't need book, chapter, and verse for everything we do. We can make, that's church, that's pride. We're in trouble because of pride. Church, pride, just go with me real quickly, and this will be our text, and we'll conclude. Go with me to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to see that pride can ruin us. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 10. It says here, two men went up to the temple to pray. I like how the text starts off here. The text here starts off by saying what? Two what, church? Two men. In God's eyes, that's what we are. We're mankind. In God's eyes, we're all equal. In God's eyes, we're all His creation. Two men. But now, we have our various descriptions. And he breaks from there and he says, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. Church, we see here from these two men, we see what pride can do. When pride comes into play, do you know, how many of you heard the statement? How many of you have said this? Maybe not I, but somebody will say, he's a self-made what? You ever heard that? When you start talking about money, he's a self-made millionaire. Have you heard that? Okay. Have you heard this? You know what? I pulled myself up by my own. Okay, one more time. I pulled myself up by my own. That's in the church, that's nothing but pride. That's nothing but pride. You don't need God because you did it all yourself. Here is a man that shows us, listen. And the Pharisee stood up praying thus to himself. He prayed, but who did he pray to? Who did he talk to? Church, you know what? Pride will make you talk to yourself when you think you're talking to God. You know why? Because you only talk to God, or I only talk to God because I remind God of how great I am already. I remind God I don't really need you. But pride, you know, they say you can talk to yourself and not be crazy. You ever heard that? Say you're only crazy when you answer yourself. You know, think about that. That's really ridiculous. Who would talk to themselves? I think you're crazy if you don't answer yourself. I mean, you ask yourself a question. It's kind of like, well, brother, hi, what are you going to do today? Well, I can't answer you. I'm going to be crazy. You know, that just don't make a lot of sense. I should answer myself and go on about my business. But now pride, when it comes to spiritual things, it'll make you think you're talking to God when you talk to yourself. You know why? Because God says, I'm not going to stand for that. Here, this man, he says, and he listen to his prayer. The Pharisee stood up, and the Bible already says, thus praying to himself, God, at least he recognizes God's name, okay? God, here he goes. I thank thee, I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. It's church, when pride comes into play, we don't need God. We don't need Him. We're self-made. We pulled ourselves up out of the gutter. We did everything by our own might. Pride will get us in trouble every time. Pride, when pride comes into play, you ever heard the statement, and I know you have, and I know you've heard it preached, I know you've read about it. You ever heard about the throne? You ever heard about there's somebody sitting on your throne? Pride places me on the throne. Who should be on the throne, church? That's a question. Who should be on the throne? But you don't need God. You know, all you need when it comes to God is you need to remind God of who we are. And that's one of the problems of our nation. We need to remind God of how mighty we are. We need to remind God of how much strength we have. We need to remind God that we can blow everybody else up. We need to remind God of that. We don't need prayer in school. We don't need to be able to talk about the Bible in the workplace. We don't need to be able to share Jesus anywhere that we go. We don't need that. We just need to remind God if we address God. Because now, whenever you start talking about pride coming into play, even when you address God, the question comes into play, who is God? Which God are you addressing? Pride will take us down every time. Church, pride is the devil's workshop. If he can get me to be a prideful person, if he can get you to be a prideful person, if he can get our nation to be a prideful nation, he can take us down every time. I mean, go to Genesis chapter 3. Go to Genesis chapter 3, and that's how he started. That's how he started with. Remember, we go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we see where God created perfectly. God created everything just right. God placed the day, God placed the night, God placed the moon, God placed the sun, God placed the grass. Everything just right. God made man, God made woman. God did everything just right. But he said to the man and the woman, there's a tree in the midst of the garden. You can't eat that. But you know what? Satan knows if I can just get a little bit of pride here. Let me talk to them. You know that tree you can't eat of in the midst of the garden? You know why you can't? You know what? But the reason is because the day you eat of it, you're going to become like God. You're going to know right from wrong. Good from evil. And you stop and think about it. Who wouldn't want to be like God? That's pride. Unless you truly realize who God is. We come over into the New Testament, and the Bible tells us how the devil works. There are three ways. The pride of life is one of them. The pride of life is one of them. He's still working. And pride is one of his main avenues. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that the devil is walking around like what, church? Like a what? Like a roaring lion. And he is seeking someone to what? Devour. Church, and that someone is you. That someone is me. Now, I know a lot of times when we talk about a lion, When we talk about lion, a lot of us, we think about the zoo. How many of you have been to the zoo? And I like to go to the zoo. One of the places I like to visit in the zoo is the lion's cage. And you see that lion walk out? I mean, he walks out all. No. And that's easy to start thinking, that's what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's not talking about some lion in a zoo, church. Okay, because somebody's already, those are losers. Yeah, they got caught. They're behind a glass cage. Yeah. And you can go up to that cage and you can make faces at them. You can actually put your face on that cage. And they come up to that glass. And what can they do to you? Absolutely nothing. That's not the lion. That's not the lion who works on our pride. I never understood the lion until I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Africa. And I went on a safari. Go on one. I recommend it. Went on safari, and that night in the hotel, we're laying there, and about time to go to bed, and we heard this loud noise. And when we heard that noise, I said, what is that? Well, our guide said, that's some kind of screaming monkey. Yeah. I mean, and it was a noise that, you know, and I thought to myself, And he said, and the monkey's about this big. You know, it's a little bit of thing, but just makes a loud noise. And I thought to myself, oh, I can take out a monkey. Yeah, I mean, I can. I might not kill the monkey, but we're going to go down trying. Okay, I thought, no problem. And all of a sudden, church, listen, we heard another noise. A noise that I never heard in my life. And I said, well, what's that? And he says, that's a roaring lion. A hungry roaring lion. So make sure your doors are locked tonight when you go to bed. And he left. You know what you call that? You call that being smart. That's the lion the Bible's talking. He's loose. I'm in his turf. He's seeking someone to devour. The next day we're up on the safari deal and we come up on a den of lions. And you know what my tour guide asked? He said, would anybody like to get out and get a picture? And we all just looked at him, and what I asked him, I said, would you get out and get a picture for me? And he looked at me like, are you crazy? That's the lion the Bible is talking about. And pride is his main, one of his main vehicles. He can get our pride. He can get us. He tried that with Jesus. Remember that? Remember Matthew chapter 4? He thought, I know how to get him. I'm going to take him up and I'm going to show him this. And Jesus says three words. It is what, church? Written. So then the devil said, okay, put that aside. Let me try another one. Let's try this one right here. And Jesus said, what, church? It is what, church? Written. Then the devil tried the third time. And on the third time is normally charm. And Jesus said, what? It, what, church? Is written. And you know what our world is telling us? Because of pride, they're telling us, let's get rid of the Bible. Let's get it out of our schools. Let's get it out of our nations. Let's get it off of any signs. Let's get it out of our eyesight. Let's get rid of the Bible. When Jesus said, it is written. Satan says this, if I can get rid of what is written, I can get to the pride of the man. Pride, church. And finally, the lesson's yours. Pride will bring us down because, church, pride will make us look down on others. It'll make us look down on others. We forget. And I believe this nation is a great nation. I'm from this nation. I have my residence in Guatemala, but I have what's called a blue passport. Yeah. And you know what that blue passport tells everybody? You know what it tells them? I am from the United States of America. I mean, I go places and you know, you try to fake it. You know, because you don't want to stand out or anything like that. And so I'm even in Guatemala, you know, I'll be up there and they'll come up to me and they'll say, hey, ¿cómo está usted? I say, oh, muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted? Ah, bien, gracias. Nosotros vamos a hablar un poquito. And then, you know, they start thinking, you know, maybe he's from here. Then all of a sudden, they say something that I don't have a clue what they said. Or do I say something and they don't have a clue what I said? And they realize, where are you from? Yeah, okay, I speak Tennessee Spanish, I know. This nation's a great nation. You've got running water. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. That's not anything great for you because that's something you're accustomed to. Oh, and then you've got electricity 24 hours a day. Oh, electricity, what are you talking about? You're accustomed to that. No problem. You've got houses. You've got houses that they're built to stand. Oh, what? Okay, sorry. Didn't mean that because you're used to that. You're going to go to your house today. You've got cars. Some of you've got two or three cars. Oh, well, what difference that make, you know? Oh, you've got stuff. No need to talk about stuff because half of it you got in a storage bin that you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what you put in there last year. You know, in Guatemala we've got places called megapacas, and megapacas are stores almost the size of your super Walmarts here. Almost the size of your super Walmarts, and they're called megapacas. And you know what we sell in our megapacas? We sell pacas. You know what a paca is? A paca is a big container that has clothes and shoes in it, and sometimes toys. It's a big thing they call a paca, and they open them up every Sunday or Monday. And they fill up these stores with these clothing items, with these shoes, with these toys. They fill up these stores that are the size of Walmart in the United States. They fill it up with almost new clothes, almost new shoes, almost brand new toys. And do you know where it all comes from? Can anybody guess? Anybody want to guess? Anybody want to say it out loud? It comes from here. You know what pride will do for us? Pride will make us start thinking we're so good and we're so great that we're better than everybody. There's something to be respected, and there's something to be feared. Church, we don't have anything here without the help of God Almighty. I don't have nothing. I don't have nothing without that. And when pride comes into play, pride makes us like this man in Luke chapter 18, where he says, "I'm not a swindler. I'm not this. I'm good. I fast twice. I give of my means. I do everything just right. And I'm not like this dirtbag standing next to me." Pride makes us look down on others. Why? Because we're mighty. Because we're, and church, if we're not careful, it comes over into the church. We are righteous people. We should be. We are different people. We have been set apart for God's own elect. We have been baptized into Christ. We've been washed with the blood of Christ. But church, we are nobody except for what Christ has done for us. We're nobody. I heard last year when I was here, I heard that they were having a gay parade in Denver. I know what the Bible says about that. You know what the Bible says about that, but may we never become prideful. Because church, the difference between us and them is we've been saved by the blood of Jesus. That's it. And I heard somebody saying, and you know what they said? What we need to do is we just need to get all of them down in Denver, and we just need to put a bomb in the middle of them and blow them all up. And I thought, and I didn't say it, but I'm thinking, are you serious? Since when? What I wanted to say is, once we place the bomb down there, I want to send you down there to teach them the gospel. And see how many of them you can teach before the bomb blows up. Church, pride will come in. And there's nothing wrong with being, we're commanded to come together to worship. We're commanded to take of the Lord's Supper. We're commanded to be righteous people. We're commanded to be different from those around us. We're told we're the light of the world. We're told we're the salt of the earth. But may those things never make us prideful people. So prideful that we can't reach out and pull somebody up where we are. I think about it. Somebody pulled me up. Okay? Somebody pulled me up. I mean, I was born in a Christian family, and I thank God for that. I had a good Christian mother who raised 8 children. Yeah, 8 knotty-headed children. She raised them by herself. I thank God for that. There came a point in time where I had to make a decision. And at the age of 13 years old, I made a decision to become a child of God. I thank God for that. But may those blessings that God's given me, may they never become a curse where pride comes into play. And I become like this man here in Luke chapter 18 where I say, I'm this, I'm that. I do this, I do that. I go to church twice a week. I give of my means every time the contribution basket is passed. I partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. I assemble, I sing, I pray. May that never become a curse to where it makes it where I can't see a lost world in front of me. The lesson is yours this morning. Our nation's in trouble. Pride. Pride has Pride has come into our nation. Are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? We are who we are by the might of God. And God looks at us and God says, no, 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 no. I'm not going to stand for that. I'm not going to stand for that. I tell you things like, you are to seek first the kingdom of God. That's, pride won't allow you to do that. God says, no, 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 I tell you things like in Philippians chapter 2, I tell you, have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. Pride's not going to allow you to do that. God says, I tell you things like, don't, in Philippians chapter 2, I tell you things like, don't look out for your own interest, but look out first for the interest of others. Pride's not going to allow you to do that. I tell you back in Matthew chapter 6, I tell you things like, don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. It's all coming to an end. Pride's not going to allow you to listen to that. This morning, are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? Has pride come in? You know, another thing pride's going to keep you from doing, sometimes if you're not careful, it'll keep us from admitting that we're prideful. And the only remedy for that is church, just simply, it's one word, it's called repent. God, forgive me. God, forgive us. Maybe there's someone in this audience this morning that we're going to sing an invitation song, and maybe there's someone in this audience that pride's just gotten you. You need to repent. You might need to do it from your seat, or you might need to come forward. You might need to come forward and ask this family to pray for you. Don't let pride keep you from being saved. Maybe there's someone in this audience that you haven't obeyed the gospel. You can do that right now. You can come believing that he is. Repenting of your sins, making the sweet confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. You know what? Pride will try its best to keep you from doing that. You can't be prideful and be a true Christian, because God says, no, no, no. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have it in your nation, and I'm not going to have it in my church. God says, no, no, no. I'm not going to have it. Anyone need to come to Jesus this morning? We invite you to do so as together we stand and as we sing.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free from the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your off some presence from the shadows into your radiant by that I may enter your brightness. Search me, try, keep, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
We'll have our closing prayer at this time.
Thank you, Brother Hiawatha. Appreciate the word. Let us go as Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we come this time in prayer. And I want to thank you today for giving us this honor and privilege to come worship you. And thank you for blessing with Hiawatha and Byron as they continue the missionary work in Guatemala. And be with them, keep them safe, and let them to always strive to do your word. And let us to be good Christian examples here and support them in prayer in whatever way we can. And be with those who are not as fortunate as us as we look through the audience today, and let us to be able to reach out, touch someone, set a good example for those ones we come in contact with, and let our pride not get in the way of getting into heaven with you someday. In the Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Stop it.
No. Nope.
That one.
Honey, where you at? We go. We go.
That one.